Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray, and then I'll know more about what I want to do after that. Thank you, Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we open our hearts tonight. So we open this service. We open our hearts to you, that you might fill us up. We make room for you in our heart. Make room for your word in our heart, in our mind, in our very being. We know that less of us and more of you makes for better life. And so that's our goal, that is our challenge, that is our desire, that we can have less of our own self, flesh person, and more of you in us, more of you in our inner person. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be under the teaching of your word tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, for all those things past that you've already done to bring us this far. Lord, we're living evidence to your mercy, living evidence to your goodness, living evidence to the reality of God Almighty in us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray that you'll anoint us to hear you tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I know Peter's all warmed up. He was up here practicing when we came in an hour ago. He's all warmed up. But I just feel it in my heart to go ahead and start the teaching tonight. And Mitch likes to, he likes to title the Wednesday night teachings. And he was asking what we were going to do this Wednesday night. And I said, the truth about faith healers. And I want to talk about faith healers tonight. The term faith healers gets a bad name from people who don't know the Lord. And it can get a bad name even from Christians, well-meaning Christians, who don't know the word. And a lot of people get classified as faith healers in a negative sense. But I happen to know that the faith healer of faith healers never fails, and his name is Jesus. If there was ever a true, genuine faith healer, it was the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now, in my lifetime, because of my years on the planet, I can remember back a number of faith healers that were real popular in the United States and in some other parts of the world. But in my lifetime, some of the ones that were more popular were men like Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, William Branham, Jack Coe, a lovely lady named Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, numerous TV personalities in this day and time and in the past several years. Some of the newer ones on the block in the last decade that have risen up, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson. And they were well documented for many amazing healings that have taken place under their ministries. Now, this, of course, just to name a few. There's many more that I don't know about. And in the Bible, we have a long list of faith healers. And to shorten that list, we could say Jesus, Peter, Paul, Stephen, Silas, the 12 apostles, for that matter. These people were faith healers. They had a healing ministry, and by faith in the Lord Jesus, they were able to bring healing to multitudes. And I believe it's really important for us to keep preaching faith healing and keep teaching faith healing, especially when we need it the worst. Now, to be very candid with you and transparent, I have wrestled with this message somewhat because 7 months ago I had open heart surgery, and a month ago Barbara had her knee bones completely taken out of her body and metal joints placed in place of them. And so I've wrestled with teaching on healing because it's like, well, Lord, I feel like a hypocrite teaching on healing when I had to go to the doctor. Now, there's reasons for that feeling, both good and bad. But, you know, just because I went to the doctor and had surgery doesn't mean healing quit working. And just because Barbara now has a stainless steel and plastic knee joint doesn't mean healing quit working. You might, you know, it's immature actually to ask the question, but we'll ask it, well, why? Why did it have to go that route? Well, the answer to that is, I don't know. But it's not Jesus' fault. If there's any lack in the sense of us not receiving healing supernaturally, it's not Jesus' fault. The fault, if you could call it that, or the lack, lies in us, not in the Lord. He is always right. His plan is always number one. It's always plan A. He doesn't need a plan B. We many times resort to plan B because we don't know how to fit into plan A. But just because some of us go to the doctor doesn't mean healing's not wanting to work in us. And the healer, Jesus, wants to work in us. And if I was to give up and say, well, I'm not going to teach on healing anymore because I had to go get surgery, how many people might miss healing? We have a dear friend in Mexico, one of our pastors over there, who back about 3 years ago, his wife passed away with cancer. And within, probably 2 weeks or a month on the outside, he had scheduled himself to preach in a number of churches. He has his own church, but he had scheduled himself to preach in a number of churches and at meetings around the community because he said, I want to preach healing. And people, you know, are like, your wife just died with cancer a few days ago. You're wanting to preach healing. What's the, you know, people tend to wonder about something like that. And he said, you know, I'm upset with the devil for taking the life of my wife. And I'm going to become his worst nightmare. I'm going to preach healing like I never have never preached it before. I'm going to preach it in a greater sense, in a stronger sense than I ever had before, because I'm going to, you know, if I could do it, I'm going to get back at the devil for what he's done in taking my wife. I'm going to, because he took my wife, I'm upset, and I'm going to go out there and get some people healed. I'm going to bring them the Word of God and see healing work in their bodies so that they don't have to bury their wives. You know, his attitude was very commendable and honorable. And he just went out there and went to work for the Lord and had terrific results. Because the Word was allowed to work even in the light of negative circumstances. And so as we approach healing tonight, keep in mind that no matter what's happened in my life between me and the doctor, it doesn't hinder healing. If you'll believe the Word. If you'll believe the Word, you'll get what you receive from the Word by your faith. It's really important to know that it's God's will to heal. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures tonight that show that. But here's an interesting thought. Appropriating faith cannot go beyond your knowledge of the revealed Word of God. You know, to receive healing, we have to appropriate faith. We have to receive it, assimilate it, believe it, walk it, exercise it. But we can only do this according to our knowledge of the Word of God. People who have no knowledge of God's Word, who have no knowledge of His will to heal, are not going to receive healing. In fact, Everyone in Jesus' community did not receive healing. Now, there's a number of scriptures that show that he healed them all when they were there to hear him. But the ones in the next town didn't receive healing until they heard him. And the ones in the other town up there, they didn't receive healing until they heard him. And the ones in the next state, the next nation, they didn't receive healing when Jesus was here on the shores of Galilee as he's healing the multitudes. Says many times the multitude come, he'd heal them all. All manner of sicknesses, it didn't matter to him, he'd heal them all. But on the next lake across the ocean, he wasn't healing them, was he? Because they weren't hearing. And so this is a very important key. If we want healing, we need to be hearing the word of God. We need to hear it from the pulpit. We need to hear it from our daily meditation. We need to hear it from our daily readings. We need to hear it, you know, if you're apt to go, you know, listen online or on TV or radio or whatever. Listen to something that's positive on healing. Because hearing the word of God develops faith within us. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, faith comes by repeatedly hearing the word of God. For us that have raised children, we know how important it is to repeat to the child, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go change your socks. Go change your socks. Go change your socks. I told you last week. I told you the week before that. I told you last month, the month before that. Go change your socks. When they're stiff and you can't even hardly get them on because they're so dirty and stiff, it's time to change them. Come on. You can smile. But we need to know the word of God on healing if we intend to appropriate faith for any healing of any kind. Barbara and I have been talking lately, since she's had the knee operation. We say things to one another like, wouldn't it be so cool that by the time they're ready to do the other knee, it doesn't need it? I mean, I'm all for that. It can happen. It can happen. It can happen. Now, this is wild, but this is true, and it's been documented. I mentioned Randy Clark and Bill Johnson in Bethel School in California, Bill Johnson's Bible School. They have documented cases with doctors that have done the documentation of people that have had metal joints disappear and real bones came back into the body. Now, that's a pretty good miracle, if you ask me. And so Barbara's stainless steel knee could become bone before this service is out. Who's to say? God is that big. And he wants us to believe for the, you know, it was possible for us to go to the doctor. And we did that because after much prayer and meditation, we've received in our hearts a release to do that. And based on our understanding of the word, we got what we felt was permission to do that. So we went to the doctor and we, you know, did what we could do. But you know, God wants to do what he can do. He wants us to dare to believe for the impossible, because that's the realm in which he works best in. If we didn't need, if there wasn't impossible situations in our lives, we really wouldn't even need God. Do you need God? Well, when you get right down to it, you need God because of the impossible situations in your life. Whether it be physical healing or some other situation, we need God because of the impossible. But he does that. That's his thing. That's his gig. That's his happiness. That's what turns him on. If he can get us in that place of faith where he can do the impossible to his glory and to our benefit. And so I just challenge you tonight, believe for the impossible. You say, well, you know, that's just pretty far out. So what? How are you going to get too far out for God? He's out there. I don't care how far out something is in your desire and in your prayer. He's out there too. Come on. Help me preach. Before attempting to exercise faith for healing, one needs to know what the scriptures teach. And we need to know that it's just as much God's will to heal the body as it is to heal the soul. You know, indeed, Jesus died on the cross. He didn't say, okay, I'm shedding this blood so your sins can be forgiven. But these stripes on my back, that's just my punishment. You don't get any benefit from that. Those stripes on his back were for our healing. I want to rise up into that place where I can believe for the healings we need. James, if you have your Bible, you may want to turn there. James 5:14. See, we got people quoting it already. 14, 15, and 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Verse 16. Watch this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Key. Confess your faults one to another. I think maybe there's a hang up here for some of us. Is the healing I need in my body worth it for me to confess my faults, or do I want to keep that hidden? I mean, think about it. I don't like confessing faults. How about you? Do you enjoy confessing your faults to one another? No. But what if confessing my faults triggered the faith that brought me the healing that I need? What if? It's a key, or he wouldn't have put it in the book. He says, have them pray, elders pray for you. He says, the prayer of faith is going to save them. And if they've committed sins, to be forgiven. And confess your faults that you may be healed. It's all in the same passage. I think it's worth meditating on things like this, whether we like to look at it or not. Interesting, isn't it? Let me take you to the book of Jonah. How am I going to get healing message out of Jonah? Huh? How's this going to work? First of all, I got to find him. Here he is. I found him. Jonah's right after Amos. Between Amos and Micah. I want to read to you some scripture from Jonah. In chapter 1, the first three verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Get this picture. The Lord says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. He heads for the beach, down to the shore, finds a ship in harbor, and he launches out for Tarshish, the opposite direction. Problem number one, disobedience. Now, how's this play into healing? Well, it will if you watch. Now, we're in chapter 1. Look at verses 11 through 17. Okay, the ship is in a mess. He's out there, and the ship comes up on a storm. In verse 11, the sailors, said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and the sea shall be calm to you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not innocent upon us innocent blood, for thou, Lord, has done as it has pleased thee. So they took Jonah up, and he cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and made vows. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. He needs healing. Do you have any idea what digestive juices of a great fish do to somebody? We can ask him how this was when we get to heaven. But you know, you've heard the sermons where Jonah's in the belly of the fish and there's seaweed around his neck and all that. Chances are his skin is beginning to rot away because of the digestive juices of the fish. And he's probably wondering, how is it that I can still breathe in here? How is it that I can keep living through this hellacious mess that I've gotten myself into? And he's more than likely praying his first prayer, Lord, just take me on. Don't let me suffer this horrendous death. Let's get this over with, Lord. And after 3 days, he's going, maybe the Lord wants to talk about something else. He's not listening to my prayer to take me on home. I got a feeling about this point, about the third day, Jonah is in the mood for healing. He needed his soul healed from the disobedience that had attacked his soul. He needed his body healed because his body was being digested by a fish. He needed his ministry healed because he was in dire disobedience against God. He needed healing in the worst kind of way. You'd probably never thought of it like that. I hadn't either till this afternoon, and I got to playing with it in my imagination. But Jonah needed healing, brother. He needed it bad. If you're quickly becoming fish guts, you need healing. You still with me? Okay, look at chapter 2, the first 10 verses. So Jonah prays to the Lord, to his God, out of the fish's belly. That gives us hope because we can pray to the Lord out of any ugly, stinky situation. That's good news, isn't it? Verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. If he's in affliction, he needs healing, right? And he heard me out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou hast heard my voice. He starts praying in faith. Lord, I know you can hear me. If you can keep me alive 3 days in this mess, I know you're hearing me. I'm ready to talk. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods have compassed me about. All the billows and the waves have passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Repentance has just come on the scene. Key, do you need healing from the stinky, fishy mess you're in? Could repentance be a key? I mean, I'm just asking a question, just thinking out loud. If confessing our faults is a key, and now repentance is a key, should we be logging this into our memory banks? Okay. Number 5. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depths closed around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. There's the weeds around his head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He's praying faith now, guys. The Lord has brought me up from corruption. What did I tell you about the digestive juices? He was in a corrupt place. Corruption was all over him, eating him alive. And he starts praying in faith. The Lord has brought me up out of this corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will, watch this in verse 9. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I'll pay that I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. Verse 9 again, I'll sacrifice unto thee, key? Sacrifice to the Lord. And I'll pay the vows that I have vowed, or keep the promises I have promised, key? I'm just asking a question. You don't have to answer. And I want you to take these questions home with you. That's what I'm doing. And so I would attribute maybe is not the word, I would liken Jonah's fish digestive juice situation to cancer. Cancer eats people alive. And Jonah was being eaten alive. He needed healing. But when he started praying in faith, determined in his heart to make sacrifice to the Lord, determined in his heart to keep the promises he had made to the Lord, and to keep the vows that he had made, he got deliverance. How about that? Hebrews 10:35. Let's look at that. I've been wanting to preach something out of Jonah, and I didn't know it was going to turn into this. It's cool. Hebrews 10:35 and 36. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. I believe as we seek the Lord for healing, we need to have confidence in the fact that He wants to heal us. And it talks here about having patience. You know, again, I'm trying to be candid and full of the word at the same time. But, you know, I can't, you know, maybe it's because I'm human. I can't help but ask myself the question, hoping God hears. It's like, if I had waited another 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks in faith and in patience, would I have been healed without the surgery? God, did you hear that question I just asked myself? It could be that this side of glory, I'll never know the answer. But I do know that the Word exhorts us to have patience. Now, looking in hindsight, which is 20/20 vision, I'm glad that I had the surgery because I've been much stronger since then. I've been much healthier since then. I've felt better in so many ways since then. The improvements that took place in my body, once my heart started being able to function properly and get blood to the rest of my body, I mean, these new functions have just really blessed my life. And there's been enough benefits that it has overcome the pain of being repaired. I mean, the repair job was really painful. But I, you know, I'm glad I did it in that sense. But then that question, it'll still be there until I get an answer for it someday. What if I'd have waited a couple of weeks, went through one more prayer line? I don't know. I really don't know. It could be that if I'd have waited a couple more weeks, I'd have died in the prayer line. So, I know this, the only thing the Lord has spoken to my heart concerning my experience in the last 7 months. After about a month after surgery, I was asking the Lord some hard questions along these same lines, and I just kind of put it bluntly or plainly to the Lord, Lord, why didn't I get my miracle in the prayer line? I mean, we go to Mexico, and all the churches we visited, they all wanted to pray for me. You know, many of you here prayed for me numerous times. And why didn't I get it in the prayer line? And the only thing that he has spoken to me was like this. It just rose up in me and said, you got your miracle. What are you complaining about? Okay. So for now, that's where I'm at. But nevertheless, I know in my heart, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that if I had been healed supernaturally without the surgeon's help, it would have been best and a couple $100,000 cheaper. If you're going to have something serious happen and you don't have insurance, wait till you're at least 65 and on Medicare. Because they pay 80%. Praise God for that. But healing is a big subject, but it's a subject we need to get a hold of better. We need a firmer grip on the fact that it's God's will to heal us. Plan A. It is. Now, I like what one sister in the Lord, we used to pastor in Albuquerque many years ago when Becky was a baby, and one of the sisters there, there was like this argument among the group about whether we should take aspirin or not, or whether we should take medicine or not, and some were pro and some were con, and, you know, different things. And one sister says, well, I feel like I need to take whatever I need to take to live, to fight on, because I want to stay in the fight. So that's another way to look at it. Do you want to live to fight on? Well, get in the healing line, and if the Lord allows you and gives you permission, take the aspirin. But stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. You're needed here. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. Come on. Stay in the fight, whatever it takes. But let us strive for healing supernaturally. It's our promise. It should be our goal and our challenge, our destiny. I want to be healed by the power of God. In my past, there have been many, many times that I have been healed by the power of God. I fell out of a tree and broke my leg, and I was healed by the power of God. I fell through a roof in Mexico, and 11 feet later, I landed on my back and busted up all my insides, and the Lord healed me. Healing. Healing is ours. I want to look at Hebrews. We're in Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 13:8. This is a good one to memorize if you haven't already. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is different today than he was 2,000 years ago. Did I misquote that? Forgive me, please. Let me get it right. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Okay, it's obvious that Jesus healed the folks 2,000 years ago in the Sea of Galilee. It's, I guess we could use the word, it's obvious, even though it's still in the future. It's obvious that there'd be no sickness in heaven. So yesterday he healed. In heaven, there is health. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Healing is alive in heaven. Today, yesterday, today, and there. What are we going to do with today? What will we do with today? We're pretty convinced that yesterday was the healing day and the future is the healing day. What about today? What am I going to do with today? Am I going to believe the word? Are you going to believe the word with me? Are we going to believe the word that today he heals the same as he used to and the same as he always will? We've got to get it, guys. We got to get it. Now, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm repeating myself, but, and I don't want to sound like I'm against doctors or medicine or, I am for healing. Any way you can get it, but I know there's some better ways. There are some less painful ways. And we saw a number of keys already tonight about confessing faults and sacrificing to the Lord and keeping our promises and being obedient to the call. You know, when God calls you to Nineveh, you don't go to Tarshish. Huh? I mean, you know, put it down where we live. If God calls you to California, don't go to Arkansas. You still with me? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same healer. His desire is the same. His plan is the same. His methods are the same. He's the healer today. Let's look at some scripture here in Acts 5. Look at Acts 4:29. Acts 4:29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. This is Peter and John. Peter and John were in trouble with the religious people of the day who did not believe in Jesus, the religious segments that were against Christ and crucified him, were upset with the preachings that the disciples and the apostles were giving concerning Jesus. They were very upset. They put these brothers in jail. They beat them, hurt them. Ugly, hard situation. And they start praying, Lord, you saw their threatenings. Give us boldness to speak. Lord, you saw their threatenings. You saw the whip. You saw the problem we were in down at the courthouse, Lord. Give us boldness to speak your word. This is interesting. Because how many of us might have prayed in the same situation? We might have prayed, Lord, you saw that hard thing we just went through at the courthouse. You know, they're on our case. You know, this is serious. Where can we hide, Lord? Lord, how can we preach this without stirring up them, you know, stirring up these guys? How can we preach with them not hearing, you know? Where can we preach and they wouldn't hear us? Lord, we need help. We need a place to hide. If we're going to spread your word, we got to do it in secret. I mean, these guys are in trouble. Being their very life is threatened. You can just imagine these guys telling them, now you're getting a little light beating today, but do you remember what we did to your Jesus a few days ago? We're going to do the same thing to you if you keep preaching this stuff. Their lives were threatened. And they fell on their knees before God and said, Lord, you heard that. Give us boldness to speak your word. Lord, you heard that. Give us boldness to speak your word. I want that kind of tenacity. I want that kind of tenacity that the devil's not going to stop me. If he takes my life, I'll preach out of the grave. I'll come back one day resurrected and preach even better. He won't stop me. Look at chapter 5. We're in Acts 4. Go to chapter 5, verse 15. Now this is Peter at work for the Lord. Verse 15 says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and the couches, that at the least, that the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also, the next verse, they came multitude out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Next time, if there is a next time that you hear I'm going to the hospital, start looking for Peter's shadow. And do your best to interrupt me and drag me down there to where Peter's preaching and drag me across his shadow. Healing is ours. And if Jesus is the same that day, today, and forever, he can still heal us, even by faith that is triggered by an apostle's shadow. That's wild. I mean, that is wild. I mean, think about this. Oh, Lord, help me with this. I'm about to say something I've never said before. We know the history of the lady with the infirmity, that she's crawling through the crowd and she just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue went out of him, healing power went out of him, and she was instantly healed by touching his garment. And then Jesus preaches sometime along in his same time frame, within a few months of this, he preaches that, he says, you've seen the works I've done, greater works than these you're going to do. And so Peter says, well, I don't know how that's going to work, but I believe it because he said it. And so Peter gets out there and he's a preaching away and he remembers that lady that was healed when she touched Jesus' garment. And old brother Peter saying, you know, my garment's kind of dirty because I just came off the shore and it smells like fish. But you know, my shadow's clean. Lord, just start healing them when the shadow comes across. Just tell them, get in my shadow. And they start getting in his shadow. They didn't even have to touch his garment. They get in his shadow and bam, healed, healed, healed. And then the sun goes, you know, the cloud comes in front of the sun and the shadow disappears. Lord, move that cloud, move that cloud. We got more people to heal. And the Lord moves the cloud. And there's that shadow again. Everybody's running over again. Let me get in that shadow. Let me get in that shadow. Now, it may not have been exactly like that, but it may not be as far off as you think. Excuse me. Well, while we're in Acts, look at chapter 6, verse 8. Say, I believe in healing. Now, we went from Peter, we're going here to Stephen. 6:8, Stephen was full of faith and power. I I've had people ask me, how's your faith? Well, it's a little bit hard to answer. But I've had them ask, they've asked me that. How's your faith, brother? Where's your faith? What if they added to it? He says, Stephen is full of faith. What if somebody come up to you and say, how's your faith? Well, it needs to grow. It's pretty good, but it needs to grow. He says, well, how's your power? You know, we need to be full of power. Paul said, I come not to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I come to you in demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen was full of faith and power. Ivan, we need power. And power comes from faith. It's like when you get in the Word and you get all fired up and you get all excited and you're ready to go work for the Lord and get the ministry rolling, and the Lord say, what he's saying to you is, power up, boy. Power up, girl. I'm giving you this word. I'm exciting you about this word. I'm building you up. I'm toughening you up. I'm strengthening you so you'll power up and somebody will touch you and get shocked. Amen. Wow. We're still in Acts. Look at chapter 28. Let's read the first 10 verses of 28. You want to do that? And when they were escaped, okay, this is shipwreck time. Kind of get the picture. Paul is with a bunch of guys, you know, going across the Mediterranean Sea, and there's a shipwreck, a big storm, a shipwreck. And in 28:1, when they were escaped from the shipwreck, they knew that they were on an island called Melita, and a barbarous people showed us no little kindness. That's kind of odd. Barbarous people showed them kindness. I've always wondered, how does that work? Anyway, we'll answer that some other day. They showed us no little kindness, and they kindled us a fire, received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers him not to live. And he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. That's pretty cool. Paul's power, his faith and his power were greater than the venom in that snake. His power was the greater power. He was probably quoting this verse that John wrote later, you know, greater is he that's in me than he that bit me. Verse 5, he shook the beast off in the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit when they, the people, looked that he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked in a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said, he's a god. Number 7 says, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick in a fever and a bloody flux. And Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Number 9, when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Also, who also honored us with many honors, and when they had departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, the ship's name was Castor and Pollux. The snake couldn't take Paul down. The chief of the island has a father-in-law that's in dire straits physically. Paul lays hands on him and heals him. And people noticed. And they said, go get everybody that's sick. Bring that guy over here. Bring that little girl over here. Bring that grandma, that grandpa. Bring that. If your donkey's got a broken leg, bring him. This guy can probably do anything. And you know what the Bible says? He healed them all. I call that faith and power. Faith and power. Oh, well, that was Paul. That was 2,000 years ago. Thirty years ago, we were youth pastors in Sierra Vista at Abundant Life Family Church. And we had a pretty good sized youth group. And there was a young man named Clay that was Bobby's age, our son Bobby's age. And in fact, when they worked on the bridge out here a few weeks ago, you probably saw trucks that said, what is it, KG&E Construction? Maybe you guys don't notice that. Rosie and I do. They're all over Sierra Vista and Tucson, KG&E. Well, the owner has a son named Clay who used to come to our youth group. And his mom was part of our church. I never met his dad that owned a construction. But Clay was with his dad in Sierra Vista moving construction materials. And as they were moving up a stack of lumber, a snake bit him right here. I saw the marks. A rattlesnake. Cascabel. Cascabel. Bit him right here. You can see the marks on his hand. It bit him right there. He shook it off, said, in the name of Jesus, if it works for Paul, it'll work for me. And we had just been teaching them for about 2 or 3 weeks in a row. We had been teaching them from Mark 16, how you could take up serpents, and if anything, they drank anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And anyway, he was full of that, just full of that. He shook that rattlesnake off and finished his day's work and came to youth group that night showing off the marks on his hand. Jesus Christ is the same. When Paul was on the island, when Clay was moving the lumber, and snakes still won't hurt us in Glory Land, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where am I? I have about 39 more scriptures, but I don't think I'm going to do them tonight. But we need to do them one of these nights. I do have a list of healing scriptures. If anybody wants to write them down there in the back of my Bible, you'd have to copy them out. But anybody's welcome to do that. There it is. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 33, 2, 42. About 50 scriptures here. Just on healing. That I happen to scribble in the back of my Bible. You see, those little blank pages in the front of your Bible and in the back of your Bible, you can use them. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we need to preach healing no matter what. There are many different, I don't like the word methods. Our reception of healing can differ from one person to the other. Jesus is the healer, and his method is just, it works. It's whatever he wants to do works. His word just works. But our receptiveness of healing sometimes is different ones. And as ministers, our application of the healing minister can be different. Let me explain just a little bit. The same youth group I'm talking about in the Sierra Vista had a young lady named Debbie who in the course of the day, she had wrenched her knee and it was swollen and she could barely walk on it. She was just miserable, in pain. And during the service, the youth group service, I asked if anybody needed healing, and several of the young people came up, formed a healing line in front of the church. And I had had one of those days when everything was just kind of off, a little ugly, non-spiritual. I'm not sure I'm saved, and who cares? You never had a day like that? Praise God, you've outgrown that. But I had a bad day, and my faith didn't feel like it was anywhere. And yet I knew by the word of God and by what I was saying, I needed to pray for these young people that were asking for prayer. And so Debbie comes up, and I just got on one knee, and I put my hands on her knee, and I prayed, and I didn't feel anything. I didn't expect anything. I didn't know if my prayer got to the top of my head, much less through the ceiling. It's like, I'm doing this because that's what I'm supposed to do. I think probably in 90 seconds, she's dancing on that, totally healed. She got up in church the next Sunday morning and testified before the congregation that, you know, Calvin prayed for me and I got healed. And I'm going, she what? That's why I'm saying our receptors are different. My ministry worked because it was the word of God, and it worked for her because she had faith in the word. You see, I was in a bad place, but sure, her faith wasn't in me. Her faith was not in my success or failure of the day. Her faith was in the word of God that I had taught. And she had heard that if the minister lays hands on her in the name of the Lord, she would recover, that she would be healed. And her faith was in that word, not me. Had she looked at me and my day plan, she would have been, her faith would have been torn down, you see. So you can't look at people or look at the minister. You look at the word. I'm expecting great and mighty things. I don't know how long I will live. You don't know how long you're going to live either. But, you know, my pretty wife and I have turned 70 this year. And it dawned on me a couple of days ago, I could be in the last decade of my life. I mean, I may live to be past 80. A lot of people do nowadays. My dad, we just buried my dad at 90. But even at that, you know, 20 more years, as I look from where I'm at now, 20 back, that's when we built our house that we're living in. 20 years ago, we built that house. 21 years ago. And all of a sudden, that 21 years is here I am now. Well, how about another 20 years? I may or may not be here. But let me tell you something. In the next years that I do have, if it's 20, or however many I have, if it's 2 days or 20 years, I want to see some healings because of the faith we have in the Word of God. And I don't want you to look at me and say, well, I don't think I can be prayed for by him and it won't do any good because he goes to the doctor. He had heart surgery. Well, just for your information, my trip to the doctor was the first one in like 17 years. How many times have you been to the doctor in 17 years? I had one big one. I saved all mine up for a heart surgery. I was counting the other day, I think it was 27 years I'd been to a medical doctor twice. And, I don't know why I said that. Don't put your faith in me, whether I go to the doctor or not. Put your faith in the Word. And if I can pray for you, you know, if they wheeled me in here in a wheelchair, I still want to pray for you. Because the Word can heal you, and the Word is yours. All you have to do is receive it. The Word is yours, and healing is yours, whether I'm in a wheelchair or dancing in a pig trough. Everybody's happy, right? Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless our hearts. Bless our hearts with the capacity, a hunger and capacity to receive your Word, to believe your Word. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that your Word will be our focus, that we will believe your Word. We won't look at circumstances. We won't look at the preacher. We will look at the Word. We will trust the Word. Father, I pray that we will be those who trust in the Word of God, that we will not look at circumstances. We will look at the Word. We will look at the Word. Father, I'm praying for everybody in here tonight. I believe that everybody in here hungers for more God, more power, more faith, more Word. And I just believe you, Lord. I believe that you're changing us for the better. I believe that you're teaching us to be stronger. I believe, Lord, that we will be stronger because of this Word we've heard tonight. I pray that we'll put it into practice, that we'll exercise the faith, that we'll exercise the power that we've been blessed with. Lord, if you said that you live in us. Numerous scriptures, Lord, say that you are in us, living in us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that gives us power right there. Lord, I pray that we will have the wisdom, have the understanding, and have the faith to tap into the power of God that's on the inside of us. Lord, because you're in us, there's power in us. Because we speak your name, there's power in your name. And there's power in what we speak when we speak in your name. Therefore, our words have power. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, our very body has power dwelling in it. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the power of God, the power of God, the power of God that's in us will begin to touch other people, and that we'll see healings, that we'll see blessings, that we'll see deliverances, that we'll see life-changing events because of the power of God in us. Lord, you did it for Stephen. You'll do it for us. You said he was full of faith and power. And Lord, we just by faith, we declare that for ourselves. I am full of faith and power. I am full of faith and power. I am full of faith and power. It is not dependent upon circumstance. It's dependent upon the Word of God that cannot fail. I am full of faith and power in Jesus' name. I got to read this to you. We really just have one message. In all things, here's our message. You want to know what your basic message is, your most important message? That is that in all things, everybody say all things. In all things, our Heavenly Father can be trusted to honor His Word. Let's say that together. In all things, our Heavenly Father can be trusted to honor His Word. In all things, our Heavenly Father can be trusted to honor His word in all things. Our Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father can be trusted. To fulfill His word. I was visiting with Ivan and Lucy before service started, and we were talking about that. Once we get that, we get it in us solid and with full confidence that I can trust God to honor His word, then there's nothing that can stop me from doing the will of God. You guys are so awesome. I'd like to give you one more challenge as the Lord leads, and He'll lead if you talk to Him and ask Him for a lead. As He leads, invite people to church, give them a ride if they need it. Sunday's a good time to bring them. The angels don't mind standing. The angels are setting tonight, but they don't mind standing to let people come in and take their seats, okay? Amen. With that many people in here, we'll need the angels up there flapping their wings to help cool the place down. God bless you. Have a great week. And Peter, I honor you for your ministry of music, and thank you for your practice you put in for the service tonight. But I just felt like we needed to get into this and keep it as a focus. God bless you richly. Have a great week.